Okay, our final speaker before the panel is Michael Whitbrock from PsyCorp. Now, I should say PsyCorp also participated in the Acquaint program, but its expertise really is in this knowledge representation. One of the projects he'll speak to is the ICRIS, or Chris, if you're still on the phone, ICRIS program, which showed there now is a way of unifying the logic descriptions that we need to reason both about abstractly and the real world. Somebody at the break said, gee, I don't care if it's good theory, I want to have a good way of engineering. And as somebody who spent decades building systems, I can tell you a lot of system failures are because the people didn't actually know the theory they needed to build the system. And so they tried this, that, and the other thing, and that the effort was wasted. So I'm looking at what PsyCorp has, and I think that right now we can start to build knowledge bases even further than we have in the past, and the effort will not be wasted. Michael.
Before Michael starts, on the phone, you will not see this PowerPoint posted. It was in PowerPoint 2007, and we're going to convert it to a PDF format. There's also multimedia that Michael has on his machine, and we'll explore ways of posting all those later on. Thank you.
Yeah, I can make that available. So I'm Michael Whitbrock. I'm VP of Research at a company called PsyCorp that's been developing knowledge-based systems for a number of years now. But I wanted to put this in the context of some work which has been going on in the government and also in the context of the DRM 3.0 vision that Lucien's been advancing. There were a series of workshops over the last couple of years that Brent Chikas, amongst others, was responsible for, and it developed a language called IKL, the ICRIS Knowledge Language, and that's sort of the center here. And the interesting thing about that knowledge is that, and that workshop series, is that the aim was to produce a representation which would be usable for the conceivable future of knowledge interchange amongst intelligent systems. So systems which really understand and can do computations over the material that they're dealing with can produce answers, can produce inferences based on them.
Pardon, one quick interruption. We're getting a high-pitched sound we think is due to the those on the phone. Can you please put your phone on mute or see if there's something that would be contributing to that high-pitched sound, please? Yeah, we don't think it's here. We think it's coming from on the phone. Again, please put it on mute, and if you think you're the cause of that, please redial in.
All right. So the goal here is to really support systems and data repositories which understand their contents and which can answer questions about them precisely, reliably, with justifications, and in context. So I'll talk a little bit about the facilities that PsyCorp provides from that. So the thesis that I'm advancing here is that we don't have to wait until ICRIS is widely adopted. We don't have to wait until we have new vocabularies. We already have an existing representation language, PsyCal, which is compatible with ICRIS. It supports the same sorts of representational powers that ICRIS does. It's freely available. There's a downloadable version of PsyC called OpenPsyC, which contains all of the terms in PsyC and all of the taxonomic relations. It already has connections with some of the other knowledge sets. For example, OpenPsyC includes linkages to a large number of word nets and sets, not all of them, but a large number of them. So we don't have to wait. We can proceed now with a system where we can experiment with and then start deploying the notions of DRM 3.0. So what is PsyCorp? PsyCorp is a system which reasons in formal logic and has a knowledge base which supports that reasoning and formal logic. And what I mean by a knowledge base is an upper ontology with a set of very general axioms, such as that events are a kind of temporal thing, which are a type of partially tangible thing. I'm, for example, a partially tangible thing in that I'm composed of both matter and ideas. So very general things. Hooked up in a way which is consistent with that is more specific core theories, like some of the ones that actually John was talking about in his latter slides, you know, things like that causes always precede their effects. More concrete theories than that, such as this one, which says that exposure of mammals to anthrax causes infection of that mammal by that anthrax.
Sorry to interrupt. This is Stephen Cook on the Executive Briefing Center. If anyone has a cell phone near their mic, could they please move it away from their phone? There's an electronic disturbance going on.
For this, because it's unambiguous and because it enables mechanical reasoning. And I think one thing which just...
Thank you. That seemed to clear it up.
From our approach is that we're very, very concerned at not being ambiguous. We're not really prepared to tolerate ambiguity until we have a very good way of handling it. Now, I won't talk about that, but in general, we think the way to handle ambiguity in the future is by probabilistic reasoning. Probabilistic reasoning isn't currently tractable, but it's becoming tractable. I can talk at enormous length with any of you about that in the future. I won't talk more about that in this talk. So why do we want to be precise? Well, these pieces, to illustrate, these two pieces of language use exactly the same semantic form, syntactic form. Every American has a president, every American has a mother, but they mean completely different things. So if you just look at a lexical or a syntactic level, you'll reach a wrong conclusion. If you write them down in predicate calculus, you'll see that by changing the order of quantifiers here, you can completely distinguish the meaning. You can make them precise. In the first case, they have the same president. In the second case, they have a different mother, or possibly different mother. Psych isn't just using first-order predicate calculus because we require precise precise and correct automated reasoning. It also includes representations of contexts, modals, reflection, and so other higher-order logic capabilities. So just to illustrate how you represent knowledge in psych, here are a couple of pieces of general knowledge about terrorism represented in the PsyCal language, which I'm suggesting we might start using as part of DRM 3.0. So, for example, this first one says that terrorist groups are capable of directing assassinations in a way which can be reasoned with automatically. The second one says that anyone who's considered an enemy of a terrorist group is vulnerable to attack by that terrorist group, which is generally true. And it's important to note that it's generally true. Psych usually performs non-monotonic reasoning. So it's not the case that these things are believed to be completely and absolutely true. And psych won't generally answer yes or no to a question, or at least you can ask it to. But what it will give is a series of arguments for different answers. So if you answer, if you ask, for example, whether, for example, CSC is vulnerable to a terrorist attack, psych may or may not be able to, should be able to give you a series of arguments for it, that vulnerability, and be able to explain those arguments. And we can represent very specific facts. Such as that Al-Qaeda is based in Afghanistan, that this particular embassy bombing was performed by Al-Qaeda. And the reason we can do that, and the reason why I think that psych and PsyCal is a very useful and important resource, is that we have a very large logical vocabulary. So psych has 15,000 predicates, including probably most of the 150 odd relations that that LCC is able to extract using Kikoro. Has about 300,000 concepts, which seems like a lot. But if you think about Wikipedia, Wikipedia has 1.6 million concepts as of, now. And that includes banning Web 3.0 as a concept. So imagine if it was actually generous in admitting concepts, how many there would be. And I'll talk a little bit, a very little bit later about automatically getting to that sort of scale, because human activity of the sort that SciCorps has traditionally done, of the sort that Christiane and her colleagues have done over the last 20 years, well, it takes 20 years, and we haven't got all that many 20 years before we want to get going. And it has about 3.5 million assertions, many of them about terrorism, but also many of them about a great many other things. So how do we keep track of all this? Well, to drill down, we divide the knowledge base into local contexts, so locally consistent areas called microtheories. What do microtheories give us? Well, they're actually vital to having a knowledge base which is based on logic. Contexts are vital to reasoning. You have to know what's relevant to what you're reasoning about, and you have to be able to make those distinctions. So it enables, it's vital to enabling scalable, evolvable knowledge bases. And let's drill down on that a little bit. One way that it makes knowledge bases more scalable is that it enables you to place things in the context of other facts which must be true around them. So, for example, instead of you're able to say just that Nelson Mandela is president, for example. Now, that's not actually true in this room at the moment. If I read John Prangy's slide correctly, John Prangy is president in this room at the moment, most saliently, not Nelson Mandela. But Nelson Mandela was president throughout 1995 in South Africa. That's certainly true. So if we can place that statement in that context, then we can state it briefly. It allows us to get controlled consistency, and consistency is important for correct logical reasoning, for not making arguments which are just completely nonsensical. So, but we need to have global inconsistency. So, for example, it needs to be possible to say that John Prangy is president and that George W. Bush is president, and not to have the Secret Service descend on Dr. Prangy as a result of his pretension to the throne. So global inconsistency allows many things, but you know, amongst other things, it allows the efficient representation of different sources. You can say that, for example, this book claims that relational models are the best way for representing databases, while still believing, for example, as I do, that a probabilistic logic is the best way of representing information in knowledge bases. One's according to E. Codd, and one, the correct view, is according to me. It allows you to represent different data models. So, for example, in using the context mechanism in the psych knowledge base, we're able to represent the content of WordNet. We would be able to represent the content of NASA's taxonomy, even if they're inconsistent with the psych ontology. We can represent other knowledge sources. We can represent, for example, the Open Directory taxonomy, even though it's inconsistent, well, with just about any logical model of the world that you would want to conceive of. We can represent points of view, for example, the point of view held presumably by the Iranian president that the United States is a strategic threat to all of the Middle East, the point of view held presumably by the American government that Iran is a strategic threat to all of the Middle East. These are not inconsistent, but it doesn't take much augmentation of them to get them to be inconsistent. You can represent disagreeing scientific theories, hypotheses, even counterfactual hypotheses. For example, I don't know, the moon is made of green cheese and populated by unicorns. It's perfectly possible to represent that in psych, Al. It's not necessary for psych to believe it. In fact, psych has a relatively complete ontology of, for example, the Hellenistic pantheon, which it doesn't believe in. And you can represent, in the most developed way we have at the moment, changes over time and location. Dealing with context is not straightforward. It's not a straightforward part of ordinary logic. It requires specific types of context-based reasoning. So one way that we support contextual reasoning is that we have ways of representing the relationship between concepts. So this relationship, general MT, concept A, concept B, means that whatever's true in the first context, so for example, this one, subsumes what's true in the second concept. So everything which is true throughout the Middle East in 1985, down to a day over a square mile, is necessarily also true. Everything that's necessarily true in that context is also necessarily true in Lebanon in June 1985, down to a month, to the level of a governorate. Right. So if I say, for example, that in the context of the bottom one, that Dr. Feldman is the smartest woman in the world, it is also necessarily true in the upper context. Or if I say, for example, that in the Middle East, that Iran is the in 1985 was the most powerful country, which was probably false, actually. So we'll say Israel in 1985 was the most powerful country in the Middle East. It's also true in Lebanon in a particular month that Israel is the most powerful country in the Middle East. So it's not just the representational power that SciCal and languages, upcoming languages like Icarus give us that's important. It's also important to have the content of something like SciCal, to have a precise vocabulary, and a precise vocabulary which is intended for logical inference. And I make that distinction because WordNet, although it's very powerful and although synsets are a kind of concept, is not specifically designed for logical inference. And I'll give a couple of examples of why that distinction can be important and why we may need both representations, why we certainly do need both linguistic and logical representations. So I'll drill down actually on a part of this representation. So in psych, we have 37 types of relations between temporal things, starting date, temporally co-originating, none of which map very easily into specific terms in English. And we can drill down on one of them. So some of those are very, very general. So one of them is temporally intersects. What does temporally intersect mean? It means that for some of my existence, for example, something else was existing. So I temporarily intersect with the United States. I don't temporarily intersect with Napoleon Bonaparte. That seems like something that wouldn't be very useful to talk about. You know, the fact that I happen to, New Zealand temporarily intersects with the United States. Is that useful to talk about? Well, it is if you talk about the opposite of this. Because if we say, for example, that I don't temporarily intersect with Napoleon Bonaparte, that immediately implies that Napoleon Bonaparte was not my spouse. Is not my spouse. I am not a consultant for Napoleon Bonaparte, and the emperor is not a consultant for me. To say that Napoleon Bonaparte doesn't intersect with, the treasury of ancient Rome says that he did not hold an account at that bank. To say that Napoleon Bonaparte didn't coexist with post-Soviet Union breakup Russia means that he didn't reside in post-Soviet Union breakup Russia, although he may briefly have resided in the same land area. And that's the sort of distinction which it's important to make if you're reasoning logically about things, and isn't so important to make if you're using language. Now, a word net, actually it doesn't cover closed class words at all, so it doesn't have a synset for in, but if it did, it would probably subsume many meanings that we have in psych. So psych has many senses of it, and I don't remember the exact number, but amongst them are these. So you have to think about it. Does any of the objects stick out of the container? If it doesn't, then it's incompletely, and you can make inferences about it. For example, if you're looking from outside the container and the container is opaque, you won't be able to see it. Is it in it partially? Then you will be able to see it. Is it in the container open? If it is, if you turn the container upside down in a gravitational field, which again is part of the context, it'll fall out. And so on and so forth at great length. I have several other slides like this about in which I haven't included in this talk. Event types. One of the things that Icarus thought it was important to represent for intelligence community applications is events. We think it's important to represent them too. In fact, we've got a representation of several thousand terrorist events, for example, in our terrorism knowledge base. There are about 11,000 types of events represented in psych. Most of the types of events that you would want to represent for a general application, and it's very easy to add more. So some of them for transportation, for example, getting into a vehicle, navigating, having an accident, colliding, incurring damage, tipping over in a vehicle, steering a road vehicle, and these aren't just terms, although in open psych, they're terms and taxonomic relations. They also have information associated with them. So, for example, it's easy to say, although I don't know if it's in psych at the moment, that if you perform steering a road vehicle rapidly around a corner, then you're at risk of the tipping over event. I doubt that that's in psych at the moment, but it's easy in the vocabulary that we have to say it and to reason about it, and that's important. We have a large amount of vocabulary for representing the relationships between these events and the things, people, agents that have roles in them. So the things which are created in a type of creation event, so for example, in this event, which is my giving a talk, one of the things which is created as a conceptual work, which is sort of the content of my talk. Another thing that's created as an information-bearing thing, which is I don't know what it's been recorded on, but at the moment probably a disk drive, which is storing the video and audio of my talk. Later on, there will be another information-bearing thing, which is probably a series of DVDs or websites, which contain the same conceptual work. Again, these sorts of distinctions are very important for drawing conclusions about what we're representing. Take an example event. How do we represent this? So as a particular attack, we can say that it is a terrorist attack, that it's performed by a particular jihad group, that a particular bomb was used, and so on and so forth. So we can use these relationships very easily in predicate calculus to connect entities together with events and agents. And one of the reasons we can do that is because we have these 300,000 terms in psych. That no matter what you think of that you want to represent in logic, you probably can. Not certainly, because it's not 1.6 million, which at the moment is the current best estimate for the sum of all human knowledge, or the sum of all human concepts. It increases daily. And you can add this information conveniently to the knowledge base. So everything I've showed you so far has been in logic, but we don't actually make you suffer logic. Psych, like LCC systems, and in a way like WordNet, has a very extensive lexical knowledge base as well. So part of the psych knowledge base is a large amount of information about English syntax, English semantics, English words, and their relationships with each other. And we use this to enable untrained people basically to add information to the knowledge base and to get information out of the knowledge base. So this is an interface that we developed for producing our terrorism knowledge base, our analyst knowledge base, And some of the technology involved was developed under a quaint thanks in part to Dr. Prangi. And it allows you to fill out basically a form describing a type of entity or a type of event. And you'll see that at the moment, this is a form which is being used by a domain expert to describe the terrorist Muhammad Atta. So this was many years ago now that this was done. And you just go to the fields in this form and you type in the relationships, and the system translates them into logic. The reason it can do that is, again, that it knows so many terms. So it's possible, for example, to say that he's affiliated with the Hamburg Al-Qaeda cell. Psych knows about the Hamburg Al-Qaeda cell because someone else has already described it and can translate that automatically into logic in the right context. Can say he's affiliated with Al-Qaeda, that his role is a member, that he's affiliated with Bin Mansour, that he's his friend, and you can say that he was the acquaintance of this other fellow in the late part of the 1990s. Psych understands a huge number of ways of describing time periods and relating them to each other. So almost any way you want to, the middle part of summer 2007, late August 1942, the early part of the 20th century, July 6:43 p.m. on February the 6th, 2007, all of those can be typed in and translated into a context which can then be used to reason about what other things might have been going on at the same time, what things might have been caused by this event or by this person, and so on and so forth. We don't just allow people to get the information in. All of the entities, just about all of the 300,000 things which are represented in Psych can be used to generate fact sheets. So this is using natural language generation from logic. We can produce fact sheets like this. So he's an Egyptian. He died in New York City. He was the leader of the Hamburg Al-Qaeda cell from sometime in the late part of 1990s to sometime on September 11th, 2001. You can tell the computer's writing this, right? Because the fact that that's kind of obvious that that he was it's kind of weird to say that he was the leader of the cell until sort of the instant he died, but it's true and important for logical reasoning. So all of this content is generated automatically using natural language generation from the logic. I talked about the 1.6 million concepts in Wikipedia and about the somewhat quixotic methodology that we and WordNet have been employing so far to grow our respective knowledge bases, which is having people sit down and think hard about them. That's a useful thing to do. We're losing patience with it after 20 years of it, and we're starting to automate things. We're doing a lot of work on automated knowledge acquisition, fully automated knowledge acquisition from text. I can give I can give a 4-hour talk on that. Don't ask me. Probably longer. But one thing that we're doing is trying to add new concepts from Wikipedia. So If we're reading this article here about a guy called Klingberg, again, this is a Wikipedia article, and we come across the term polygraph, which doesn't happen to be in Psych, and didn't happen to be in Psych, this is a real case, we can then go off and do some research in Wikipedia. So what we do is we try to find a page about the polygraph. This usually works because 1.6 million is a big number. We extract the first sentence from Wikipedia, which is usually definitional. We apply a system called example-based machine translation to logic, which is a system that we developed at PsychOrth to serve more or less exactly the same sort of purpose that Jaguar does from LCC. It's trying to go, in our case, from English to extremely precise logical representations, first-order predicate calculus with context representations, not to logical form. Both of these are great things to do. Both of them are useful to do. Both of them can feed into each other. This may parse the sentence or may not. If it does parse the sentence, it'll make an assertion like General's polygraph device physical, which is then checked against the knowledge base to see whether it can prove that it can't possibly be the case, and then, if successful, added to the knowledge base. This means that from now on, psych will know that a polygraph is a physical device, which, you know, isn't everything to be said about a polygraph. I mean, it doesn't say, for example, what it's for. But it does tell you that, you know, you might find it on a desk, you might plug it in, you might attach it to something else, it consumes electrical power, it was manufactured by human beings, and so on and so forth. Not everything, but enough to get started on a seed around which you can grow the rest of the knowledge. We have some much more involved knowledge acquisition projects than this. This is an illustration of a project that we did together with Ken Forbes at Northwestern University. In fact, we're continuing to do it for a system which automatically goes and does research to generate comprehensive descriptions of kidnapping events by making analogies with other kidnapping events, by doing directed information retrieval and translation into logic, and by using the scripts, event types, which are described in psych, in order to work, to find out what things you ought to look for about a kidnapping if you already know some stuff about it. The last thing that I want to do is show you a brief video. So I talked about getting stuff into psych. Well, what good does that do you? What good does having all this stuff in logic or or for that matter, in OWL or in Icarus or any other logical representation? Well, it enables you to solve problems that generally you would require human beings to solve or to help human beings to solve problems. So here's a brief video illustrating the psych analytical environment, which is a system which allows fairly untrained people, as in the case of knowledge entry, to access the contents of the knowledge base. So hopefully this will work. Something's muted. No, well, it's plugged in and it was working before. We tested this. I can replay it if someone... do we have the technical person to flip the switch to turn on this input?
Steve, what do we do? Let's see. Audio center. Oh, he's coming.
Right. So it should be on now.
Dragging snippets of English together constructs logical queries. By editing the English words and phrases, users can replace the existing concepts with others. Under the covers, the English is tied to IKL-compatible logical queries Psych understands. The user can replace terms in line or bring up menus with suggested replacements. The system recognizes Hans Paix as an alias for Abu al-Masri. The user asks Psych whether it can prove that Paix is not attending the meeting. The system can speculate in certain cases where deductive proofs are not available. Using a little speculation, the system finds a proof that Paix can't attend the meeting. Without a visa, it's not possible to disembark from a vessel, and without disembarking from the vessel you are currently on, one can't participate in an event like a meeting that is somewhere else. The system didn't know that Paix lacked a visa, but it raised this hypothesis, which allowed it to show why Paix may not have been able to attend the meeting.
So again, I can give you a two-hour demonstration of the CAE and all of its sterling properties, but I shan't. To summarize, the time really is, I think, ripe now for a national knowledge infrastructure. This is something that people have been calling for a long time. I think it's the promise and the dream behind the Web 3.0 movement, so not even a national knowledge infrastructure, an international one. It can be done now based on formal logic with context. It can be done now using an existing, freely available, inferentially powerful terminology, OpenPsych. It can be done now using Psych to provide compatibility with IKL and with other upcoming languages like the final version of OWL with RuleML and context and probabilistic reasoning layered on top of them. It's buildable now because by using context, by using the sorts of representations that we've developed over the years, it's extensible and adaptable. So we can proceed now and then later on represent representational changes that we might have to make. It's a low-risk path in that sense. And it's also buildable because over the last few years, LCC, we and many other people have developed techniques for assisted knowledge entry, getting information in by hand. And this isn't just experimental. Almost all of our analyst knowledge base was entered into the Psych system by domain experts, not by logicians and not by computer scientists, using our assisted knowledge entry system. It can be it's possible to do automated knowledge acquisition, again, using LCC's tools, using our tools, or using a combination of them. And it's possible to build effective query interfaces, both the sort of textual entailment based ones or the text-based question answering ones and the inferentially stricter sorts of interfaces that we build, which enable you into Alia to mix access to knowledge bases with the content of databases. You know, we should start to do this, and Psych is part of the bridge which will get us there. All right. I hope that you'll believe that and come and talk to me about it more. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Before we go to group questions with Lucien, I'd like all the panelists to come up and take their positions, please.